word this day is God's call to freedom. I'm reading out of Psalms 4, first 8 verses. David is a writer of the Psalms here. He said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah." Let me stop and think about this. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." The Psalm of David is believed to have been one written just as the third Psalm is, when he was fleeing Jerusalem in effort to escape his son Absalom, who was in rebellion and in an insurrection in effort to take David's life and seize his throne. And so he said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy of me and hear my prayer." J. Vernon McGee says the distress here is about pressure. You know, we all are experiencing a little pressure in our world today, aren't we? And it seems like it's more than before. But that's what tribulation is also. Tribulation is also defined as pressure. And Jesus said that in the world we will have pressure. Or we can say tribulation. But he said what? Be of good cheer. Isn't that an interesting thing to say to somebody when you tell them they're going to go through some tribulation? But he's not talking about the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation. He's talking about just everyday kind of stuff. And we are facing every kind of day's stuff. He said the pressures of life are great in our day. I mean, that's me now. I missed him. He's relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear me. And so J. Vernon McGee is saying here, the pressures of life are great in our day as well. And we need the help and encourage that we find in the Word of God. And McGee gave a list of scriptures that reveal God's passion to be with his people in tough times, to be with us, to aid us in times of suffering when we are going through difficulties. And he says in the first scripture he gives, Psalms 145:18, there's a series of them, and I'm just going to, about five or six of them, and they're just brief, and I'm going to read through them. The first one, he says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." And again in Psalms 50:15 he says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And then Isaiah 65:24, God tells us, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." I think we like that, don't we? "And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Praise God. I trust you'll get some assurance out of these scriptures that that God has really has a passion about taking care of you and being with you in times of trouble. Amen. And we have to believe God's word more than we believe our own eyes and believe our own hearts sometimes. Psalms 18:6 says, it's very personal. It says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears." And Psalms 55:16 says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Psalms 86:7 says, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, thee, for thou wilt answer me." And finally, in Psalms 91:15, it says, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." We know that the Bible is filled with wonderful promises like these. The cry of the psalmist here in Psalms 4 is that God will be with him. And he certainly was in delivering David from the hands of Absalom. How many of you know what happened to Absalom? As he's riding his horse, probably a nice big white stallion, had these long flowing locks of hair. And so happened that God just may let a wind blow him, a little branch caught that hair and actually hung Absalom, you know. And so when I think about, you know, sometimes in days when things become very dramatic, the manifestations of God become dramatic. God can do big stuff. Amen. How many of you know God can do big stuff? Amen. And he's not reluctant. God will show off when he feels like he wants to show off. And I would just say to you, for these 240 years, this is the 240th year of the birth of the United States. It's not 39, but it is 40, right? 240? Some of you are not English more. Well, we have to say that God certainly has been with America. And we can only hope and pray that he will deliver the nation from the political, the moral, the economic and spiritual quagmire that we're slowly sinking into today. Maybe I made a mistake when I said slowly. The beautiful day of independence came for America 240 years ago. Today we celebrate the hard-earned reality that independence from the British oppressive government of the colonies. On the 4th day of July, 1776, America adopted the Declaration of Independence. They did so by dissolving all political ties, by declaring herself free and equal as a nation, and by setting forth the ideal that all individuals were free and equal. America separated herself from the tyrannical clutches of British rule. The impact of the Declaration of Independence was drastic and far-reaching in sounding the guns of war. In the Declaration of Independence, the signers set forth a list of grievances against the king in order to justify before the world the breaking of ties between the 13 colonies and the mother country. It was a time of great risk, a time of bold action, and a time of relentless faith. And saints, I just want to say that we want to have a relentless faith today. And we want to be bold too, as God spoke to me some weeks ago and said, He just said, be bold. And so I think, well, am I being a little bit too wimpy or something here, you know? I mean, you know, when you get in there with Papa, you know, when he just Papa, you know, and you just feel like a little kid, you know? And I, at 78 years old today, and still standing. I know you thought I was 58, yeah. Well, today's 78 is, you know, 68, so well. No, 67, no, 58. Give me 20. You know. But I just say, we want to have that relentless faith and trust in God. You know, and we need that more than ever before. That we may shake off the shackles that this life and that the enemy and the world will cast upon us. You might wonder, as I did, to what happened to the signers of the Declaration of Independence. You know, and whenever you take bold action, it can cost you stuff. It can cost you. And history tells us of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds and hardships of the Revolutionary War. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing for certain that if captured, the penalty would be death. The histories of their lives read like the Hall of Fame from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It was a bold thing that these freedom fighters, political warriors, and spiritual guardians did for our nation as they carried out a sovereign plan from God to birth the nation and set her on course to be the greatest nation in the history of the world. And of these revolutionary patriots, one reports, such were the stories and the sacrifices of the American Revolution. They were not wide-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education that had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence. We mutually pledge to keep to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They gave you and me a free and independent America. So let's not take these liberties for granted. They are being seized, damaged, and lost enough as it is. But take some time while enjoying the Fourth of July holiday. And silently appreciate these patriots and thank God who so moved and who so inspired them to be and to do that which brought about America's freedom. You know, and may he continue to inspire us as we've been bold and we give him thanks to do whatever he would have us to do in the days that are upon our lives. We want to be like this. Here's a story I call the anointed bird. Let me put it that way. So let's be thankful, but not like one mother I read about. She had 3 sons who left home, went on their own, and prospered. Getting back together, they discussed the gifts they were about to give their elderly mother. The first said, "I built a big house for our mom." The second said, "I bought her a Mercedes with a driver." The third smiled and said, "I got you both beat. You remember how Mom enjoyed reading the Bible? Well, you know, she can't see very well anymore. I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took elders in the church 12 years to teach him. He's one of a kind. Mama just had to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot recited just like that." Soon after Mom sent out her letters of thanks, "Milton," she wrote, "one son, the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Gerald," she wrote to another, "I'm too old to travel anymore. My eyesight isn't what it used to be. I stay most of the time at home, so I rarely use the Mercedes, and the driver is so rude." Be as rude as you want to be, you know. "Dearest Donald," she wrote, with a big smiley face on it, her third son, "you have the good sense to know what your mama likes. The chicken was delicious." Now, Mama didn't realize what she had. The gift was more than a chicken. You got to think about this. Sometimes the gift God gives you is more than a chicken. Amen? But a gift with divine properties designed to bless and to nurture this dear mom for the rest of her life. She missed the true blessing of the gift because she failed to perceive and appreciate the true nature and worthiness of the gift. Make you think? It is that way with so many in our land today. America just another chicken to be plucked and devoured for our own gratification. Having no vision or awareness of the sacredness of God's gift of freedom, a blessing longed for by all the world but given to America to sustain her, protect her, and be a golden chalice in the hand of God, who used her to influence, look after, feed, and evangelize the world. And I speak not merely of physical things which have aided, protected, defended, inspired, and given hope to much of the world, but also of sharing the spiritual legacy we have received in Christ's gift, the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, his substitutionary suffering and death, and his victorious rising from the dead. Amen? So while a spiritual awakening and revival is spreading like wildfire through the third world, as we heard Pastor Eric talk about last week, you know, it is the flames of discontent, disregard, and disaffection for Jesus Christ, the cross, Christians in general, and Christianity itself that's spreading throughout the Western world and the developed nations. The very faith that Jude warns about in the book of Jude, he warned the first century church to contend for it is relevant for the Christian church today that we contend for the faith that was first of all delivered to the church. So he says over there in Jude, verses 3-5, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And this is a sober word for us today as well. For we need to contend for what God has given us. Amen. That is so summarily being removed from us. You know. And in verse 4 he says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who, one, turned the grace of our God into lewdness, and two, denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So I said, have you ever seen such a rejection of and departure from Christ as we are seeing today in our world? Jude goes on to say in verse 5, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." But I do believe, saints, and this is me, the greatest revival in the history of the world will not miss the United States of America. Amen. As God's people pray and as God seeks his face, there are just too many of us, hundreds of millions of us here in this nation who are spirit-filled. In other words, speaking in other tongues, you know, as the Holy Spirit gives utterances. Amen. Hallelujah. And you need not to be ducking and dodging that either. Amen. Hallelujah. So many run from the true power, source of power. You know, this will anchor you and this will keep you through tough times. Because it's the Spirit in you that will be praying according to the needs, according to the interpretation that God has given him. But now in what we have been called the post-Christian era, constraints are being aggressively levied and imposed against religious freedom in America. Our freedoms are summarily being taken away, as I said. Bible's not allowed in school. Prayer's not allowed in graduations. Cross is going down, even in the military chaplains. Reverence of God and other religious expressions are gone. Easter break changed to spring break. Christmas greeting changed to happy holiday. Nativity scenes greatly limited. 70 million babies murdered in the womb. So it appears that the Christian age is fast coming to a close. And it's supposed to. Amen. Because we got something else to do. Amen.
That's right.
We were never designed to be here forever. Is that okay with you? Are you willing to go? I'm not sure that every Christian that calls the name of Christian is willing to go. Amen. I know you hear what I'm saying. I'm saying if you are saying you're a believer and you're born again and you're not ready to go, you better get something else going on the front of the burner. Amen. I know it's in a time that we don't know the day or the hour, but the Bible teaches we're supposed to know the season, saints. We're supposed to know the season. So it appears to me that this age is fast coming to a close. David J. Stewart, in his article, Losing Our American Freedoms, adds others, he wrote, he said, we are fast losing our freedoms as American citizens. Never before has there been such a threat to America's very existence. Our manufacturing jobs have been leaving the country at a startling rate ever since 1980s. Health insurance premiums are skyrocketing. Employers are offering less and less benefits. Social Security has been run into the ground by irresponsible bureaucrats. Our nation is in massive debt from trillions of dollars, again, thanks to the irresponsible government. By the way, you know, I read where China owns so much property in the United States, you would never even believe it. Waldorf Astoria, and I said, last thing, you own all the movie houses, all the big movie houses. They bought all those. Well, I know you still, we can still go to the movies, I'm sure. But he goes on, the dark storm clouds are gathering. The dots are in place, waiting for the line to be drawn. America is in big trouble, he says. Many Christians, unfortunately, don't study the event, you know, unfolding, and can realize that time is short and many are being deceived. It is enormous, you know. People are falling so much in love with this world. You know, and when I think about the millennial period of time when we, we have come back from the marriage supper of the Lamb with Christ to see the ruling of the Lord over the earth and all the people there who are going to be mortals. And it's remarkable how Scripture points out when God releases Satan from his prison in hell for a period of time, and the Scripture said for a short time, and he goes out to tempt the people, how many people will never come to Christ, even when they see you and me there in glorified bodies. They see Jesus sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing what the love of evil can do once Satan gets in there? Amen. We don't understand all of that, but I thank God before we hit the planet, I'm glad he spoke my name. Amen. I know that I was called to do what I was doing when I was a child. I didn't know it when I was a child, but I know it happened before I hit the planet. How do you feel about what God has you doing? Amen. I want you to understand you have a purpose in this world that's divine and that's holy. You fit into something that nobody else is supposed to be doing for God right now. It's not big or small. It's whether or not you're found doing what he called you to do when he comes. That's the Scriptures. Amen. Those are not only is time short prophetically, but time is short for our liberties. If you examine the laws that have been passed in the new century alone, you will realize that our freedom to share the gospel is about to be greatly hindered. Well, we know that already. If not made illegal. The legal definition for terrorist and terrorism is kept extremely broad. I can never tell you what I really believe about some of that stuff. Stewart shared again the following prayer given in Kansas at the opening session of their Senate. He says it seems prayer still upsets people. When Pastor Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas Senate, everyone was expecting the usual generalities, but this is what they heard. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have confessed that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of God's word and called it pluralism. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. Just a little whack-a-do it. Just a little bit. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. The response was immediate. A number of legislators walked out during the prayer and protest. In 6 short weeks, Central Christian Church, where Reverend Wright is pastored, logged more than 5,000 calls, with only 47 of those calls responding negatively. People want to know the truth. People want to know. So the church received international requests for copies of the prayer from India, Africa, Korea. Story continued. The prayer of Pastor Joe Wright is the horrifying truth about America. The United States has deteriorated to a large Sodom and Gomorrah. Who would have thought 20 years ago that we'd see thousands of cameras being installed in cities around America to spy on its citizens? Who would have thought that little children would be aborted by the millions in a nation which God has blessed so mightily? We have become complacent and weakened as a nation. We need to repent as a nation and come back to God. Because of greatly sinning against God, our nation, like the rest of the world, this is me now struggles in darkness and gaps to survive. In like manner, do we struggle and strain in our Christian walk, and like the mother who ate her anointed bird, we miss out on the greater blessing of discipline, of a disciplined Christian life we're supposed to produce. Because of spiritual blindness, saints, believers can misperceive and misappropriate the many freedoms, much blessings, and multiple gifts of God's grace as the certainty of our salvation. There's so much in our world, if we focus and start believing the wrong kind of stuff, we're going to water down the impact of the scriptures on us, the impact of what God's word says. The freedom from bondage is offered. The victories over temptation and the powers of evil, it'll water those down. Now know that the independence that we seek as believers is freedom in God, not freedom from God. Amen? It is not a freedom from his influence, his control, or determination of our lives, but it is most definitely a separation from Satan's influence and his control and his determination of our lives. So just as our founding fathers separated America from the tyrannical clutches of British rule, Jesus Christ has separated you and me and every other true believer from the evil tyranny and rule of Satan and all his evil powers. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them. Hallelujah. Triumphant over them in it. Amen. And the picture that I always have had of that is Jesus, when he went down in the earth, and Ephesians talk about this in the 4th chapter. And, you know, and as he just took the keys from the hands of the enemy and just drug him through the courts of hell, let them all see that he was king. Amen. Not that the one that's on the ground that I'm dragging now. Made an open show of him, you know, in the scriptures. So we need to know the stuff that's in us. Yes. Amen? Yes. We need to know. So we as Americans and Christians have always had to resist evil to keep ourselves free. Let's keep on resisting and fighting against his efforts with the attitude of defiance. Let's go about it like a boy I read about on the 4th of July weekend. It was coming up And the nursery school teacher took the opportunity to tell her class about patriotism. "We live in a great country," she said. "One of the things we should be happy about is that in this country we are free." The little boy came walking up to her from the back of the room. He stood with his hands on his hips and said, "I'm not free, I'm for." If we can feel as strong about our faith as he feels about how old he is, we'll be doing just fine. So let's not be confused about the freedom we have in Christ, but defiant of the enemy's efforts to steal, kill, and destroy in our life. Be totally persuaded that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 spells it out for us. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Amen. So saints, being persuaded that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, arm your faith and in these threatening times, it is the empowerment to rest in the Lord, to rely on him and to trust in him. It presents to us an assurance that God is always near. And I want you to know that. And I want us to, and I want to do some reading about beholding him. There's teaching on how the Christian can behold Christ. And I'm finding that beholding him is like you just take time to let yourself sense his presence, you know. And sometimes, you know, the battles get rough. And sometimes, you know, we don't realize sometimes those of you who are so dedicated and who are leaders, what leaders go through and the price you pay sometimes just to be ready to lead. But that's what we're called to. And we suffer no more than our Lord did, so we do that. But there's that dedication that we must have, and we must realize that we can take time and we learn how to focus. He wants to be personal with us, and he's always present, always present. If we can get that in our mind, we can realize he's always near. And we just seem how sometimes need to focus from the trial, focus from the fight sometimes, you know. And I like what someone says, you know, when we feel ourselves in a battle, you know. And I felt like through the night last night, in a couple of nights, I go through these battles, and sometimes it's because of what I have to do, you know. But you know, I don't come out of those battles weakened. Not I did say, "Lord, send me an angel," you know. And I saw this young, I didn't pay any attention. I could see walk him and sat down next to me, and I knew by his countenance he was the right kind of person, but I didn't even think about it, you know. But, you know, I know I'm a spiritual anomaly, you know. I don't say this kind of stuff happens to everybody, but from a child, you know. And I just want to say, you know, that he is near always, a whisper away, a whisper away. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. And we just got to get it in our heart. And the more we will believe and understand that whenever we're reading the word, we're beholding him. He's present. Then he said, "My word is spirit and my word is life." Amen. Understand, whenever you're in the scripture, you're fellowshipping with the Spirit of the Lord. You may not hear anything, you may not see anything, you may not feel anything, but he's there. And there's a change that is going on you. There's some washing going on, according to Ephesians 5:25, the washing of the water by the word. Amen. 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 I just want to know how good your God is, how personable he is, and how much he loves you, and how much he cares about you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These might be threatening times, but I want you to know that the Lord is our captain, and he's on your side. Amen. 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 And so I want you to stay in the word. I want you to keep on praying. And I want you to say, "God, I want you to say, Lord, I want to behold you. God, I want to sense you whenever I'm in a test that you're present. I need that focus, Lord, so that I don't focus on my managing the externals. Yeah. See, that's what happens when we become threatened or we feel like we're in a spiritual fight or something's going wrong. We try to manage the external. And I have found out in my life, whenever I try to manage the externals, they multiply. You know, I can't manage the external. Somehow I have to stop and do what he said, trust in me. You know, be bold in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know sometimes the enemy comes in like a storm, like a flood. Amen. But stop focusing on the fear. Stop focusing on the worry. Amen. Remember what the Lord said to us last week, that whenever we worry, we give Satan another brick in the stronghold that he's building over our lives. Amen. But we are to pull down those strongholds. Amen. We are to uproot those strongholds. And not just a stronghold, but every vain imagination as well. Amen. Pull them down. Amen. Uproot them. Amen. And then take control of them. And what I threw, I said, I cast this to the far, as far as the east is from the west. Now I know that we, east and the west, not supposed to really meet, right? Because the Bible says something about the east and the west. Yeah. Casting them there. So I'm just trying to say, I'm excited about Jesus. Amen. And the reality of who he is. Amen. Amen. If only you knew how good he really is. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I wish he would just come in and just do it. But see, he is teaching us something. See, because I find out when we can manage the externals, it's not faith. And so he frustrates you in trying to manage the externals. And they gather and you say, I need another answer. He said, trust me. Amen. And when you just stop and say, Lord, I'm resting in Jesus. I'm just going to rest in Jesus. Amen. 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 Because sometimes in our history, saints, sometimes in our history, Humpty Dumpty was broken. Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall. It was not because of Humpty Dumpty. It was because of other circumstances, other people, you know, and there was a brokenness. But God can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. God can unscramble eggs. Amen. I just want you to know what he can do for you. God bless you today, saints.